All right, podcasters, you are in this to tap into other people's audiences and get more leads and clients, right? Well, have you ever thought about launching a webinar? I know I have. And I have the Leadsology guru himself, Tom Poland, on today to share how to create a webinar that sells. He's going to share the best tips and tricks and how to leverage other people's networks to boost results. Let's dive in. So, hey, welcome to the Leverage Your Podcast Show. I'm your host, Lindsay Phillips of smoothbusinesspodcasting.com. My goal is to help you leverage podcasting to skyrocket your visibility, authority, and business by sharing insider secrets from podcast industry experts, including myself, who have created a successful business through podcasting. So let's dive in. Hey guys, I have an icon with me who is you are like a wizard to me, Tom. You have so many books. You are the guru of leads and inbound marketing, in my opinion. So I'm totally honored to have you, Tom Poland, on my show.
You're a gem. Thank you so much. I'm going to come back anytime with an introduction like that.
Oh, yay. Is that all it takes? Fabulous. So I was just, for those that are watching the video, of course, I was saying that, I have this trusty book and you have your book about webinars, your book about other people's networks. Before we dive into the meat, I just want to quickly make sure that people know about those books because I think they need to be on every entrepreneur's bookshelf.
Thank you.
Sorry. What were the titles of the webinar and the...
Oh, sorry.
Yeah.
Well, the original one that started the ball rolling was Leadsology, The Science of Being Demand. It's still a bestseller. It still outsells every other book. You've got a couple of the bestsellers. And I also have a couple of worst sellers, by the way. One of which happens to be my favorite, which is Marketing the Invisible. But the two most recent ones are Marketing with Webinars and Other People's Networks. And it's, you know, the books, I guess the books follow the evolution of thinking, my thinking about marketing and the realizations. And one of the things I like about writing books and running webinars and doing presentations is that you've got to distill your thoughts about a subject in a logical, succinct manner so that people can get it and understand it. And that forces me to think deeply about the subject, in this case of marketing. So the books, you know, if someone wants to dive into the world marketing, I would definitely start with The Science of Being Demand. And then I'd probably jump to, depending on how you want to do your marketing webinars or other people's networks.
Yeah, I love it. You have such a good way of laying it out. Your mind must be similar to mine because you're very logical and like sequential to me, but it's so easy to read and easy to understand and you can mark it up. I just found it really easy to understand and follow. So it was really helpful.
Music to my ears.
Good.
That's really what I strive for, is to iron out all the wrinkles, as I call them. You know, let's not have any speed bumps. Make it smooth and seamless. And it's also indicative of how I work with clients, and that it's a very systematic step-by-step approach. Let's make every step simple.
Yeah.
Let's check every step off. Let's market test the steps where we need to. Let's lock it in. Let's take a little more time because my stuff takes around 90 days to put into place.
Yeah.
So that when we push the go button, things actually work. We don't have, you know, the space shuttle going up just after launch. Because you see that all the time with folks, as they, you know, we call it, you know, you go and chase the squirrel and you don't quite get it, but you expend a lot of energy. And then, there must be another squirrel somewhere. You go and chase that one. So you see a lot of people not settling on a strategy and sticking to it to the point. And some strategies should be abandoned anyway. If you're trying to generate new clients through social media posts, that's never going to work. But when you listen to someone and they just flat out make sense and check their product offer, if they have a money back guarantee, if they offer you a free trial, that's someone with confidence in their strategy. Mm-hmm. So that's a squirrel you should keep chasing till you catch the damn thing, right?
Yeah.
Because backing themselves. Don't look for the people that have sales teams trying to manipulate you into making an offer in the next 10 minutes, otherwise the world's going to end. Because these are people who do not believe in their product. They believe in the sales process. And we've all been burnt by them.
Agreed.
So find someone you trust. You can know if you can trust them by the reason of their money back guarantees or free trials.
Yeah.
and devour this stuff. And don't do that with three different courses at once. Okay. Just.
Yes. One thing at a time. So I
All
love
right.
how you mentioned it offers. So of course, we're talking right now to people that are hosting a podcast, that are guesting on podcasts. And a lot of people that are guesting and podcasting in general, they're looking into tapping into other people's audiences, like your third book there. And then, but also to get leads, to grow their list. And I think having a good offer or a lead magnet is such an important part. Now, you seem to really gravitate towards online presentations, webinars, whatever you want to call them. Why webinars?
Yeah, great question. So there's, if you look at the full spectrum of what I call content marketing assets, CMAs for short, I love acronyms.
Me too.
You start at one end of the spectrum where it's very, very little skin in the game for a prospect. So I call it the short, simple, shiny thing. The one page downloadable blueprint checklist, et cetera. Pop your name in here and forget my cheat sheet, my ninja hack thing, whatever, whatever the benefit. So there's very little skin in the game. The price is generally your first name and your email address. At the other end of the spectrum is someone who reaches out to you and says, look, I've checked you out carefully on LinkedIn or whatever. I'm pretty sure I can help you with your objectives. Book a call here and we'll talk about you becoming a client. So, you know, the latter one asks someone to put an enormous amount of skin in the game. It could even, you know, here's the shopping cart link to go and buy my product. I mean, it's just too much skin in the game.
It is.
So the problem with too much skin in the game is that people don't move forward. It's like premature propositions. It's like, you know, I've met on a Zoom call for 5 minutes and I proposed marriage. It's like, settle down, boy. You know, you're gonna have to woo me, but first, at least, you know, maybe get a toupee or something. So if it's, I call it Hugh Jackman marketing. You know, I tell the story of the conversation I had with my wife one morning over coffee, and she's a big fan of Hugh Jackman, particularly with the shirt off and the X-Men. And I said, what would you do if Hugh Jackman knocked on the door right now and you went and answered and he proposed marriage to you? And she said, I'm sorry, but I'd run away. You'd never see me again.
Laters.
And she said it nicely. She said, you know, I love you, but it's Hugh Jackman. And I said, look, I don't think you need to apologize. She said, well, hang on. I just told you that I'd run away with another man. I think I owe you an apology. I said, no, you don't. She said, why not? I said, because if there was a knock on the door right now and I, Tom, went and answered it and it was Hugh Jackman, he proposed to me, I would run away and I'm not even gay. No, it's Hugh Jackman.
Exactly. So,
and I mean, it's so absurd, isn't it? But that's a lot of, you know, a lot of people do that with their marketing. It's Hugh Jackman marketing. It's look, I've found you on LinkedIn. Should we talk about SEO services? It looks like you need a new website. Can I help you with that? It's just too far at one end of the spectrum. You're asking for too much skin in the game too quickly, just like if I post marriage at first sight. The other end of the spectrum is not enough skin in the game. We don't know if people have a serious intent to solve the problem that you can help them with when they download a one-page shiny thing. Somewhere in the middle are the events. The physical events are probably the best opportunity to convert leads into high-fee-paying clients, but there's a lot to organize, and they're expensive. And if it goes south, then, you know, you've wasted a lot of time, a lot of money. Online events, to me, are the sweet spot. We're asking people to put an hour of the skin of the game is an hour of their time.
You do.
And a lot of them will register. Most of them will register and won't show up. That's okay. They're on your email list. And webinars are one of the fastest way to grow a healthy, organic email list of people who join for the right reasons, which is they're interested in the subject matter. But the ones that show up, they are the low-lying fruit in your marketplace.
Yeah.
And because they're prepared to put the skin in the game, they have a serious intent to solve the problem. And that's why I like webinars, because we have, in addition to the skin in the game concept, it's enough time for me to establish what I call the 4 hours of psychological allure. And that's a fancy way of saying we want to establish with these people rapport, respect, relatability, and reciprocity. And when you've established those four things during that half an hour, 1 hour, whatever you're taking to your webinar, then people are exponentially more likely to buy from you than they are from anyone else.
Agreed.
So it's like the first date. You know, it's like a first date, dinner on the town, let's do a show, and do we want to go to the next step? Mm-hmm. That's what the webinar is like.
Yeah. They get a taste of you and what your style is and your personality.
Yeah.
Now, go ahead. Yeah. Sorry.
No, you go ahead, please. I'll go on forever otherwise.
I've seen like there's formulas to different types of webinars, and I've seen ones where they kind of talk about themselves for like halfway through. There's like 2 minutes of meat, and then there's another like long sequence of the selling. Is there like a formula of like what content should you be giving throughout that webinar? Is there a right and a wrong?
Yeah, there sure is. I mean, and first of all, I think the positioning of the webinar is really important.
Agreed.
If you have that experience on a webinar with a presenter, make sure you're really happy with that, because it's not going to get any better once you buy.
True.
Yeah. Let's go back to the first date analogy. If you have a first date with someone and they behave badly, it's not going to get better after you're married. Okay, it's because that's as good as it gets. So if you present a webinar and your intent really is for the right people to reach out and maybe book a time to talk to you about getting a client, then I recommend you position it as a demonstration of how you work with your clients to benefit, help have a healthy relationship, to generate more sales, to improve leadership skills, whatever it happens to be. It has to be a wordsmith correctly, but that's what we run, you know, demonstration of how my clients in 151 cities around the world benefit. So when people come in, there's a transparency about what we're going to be doing, how long it's going to take, and the agenda item. And the last item on the agenda is, you know, where to from here. If you want to work with me, that's the 5 minutes I'm going to take in to tell you about the next step and how it works. So, you know, I have a thing called the persuasion sequence, which walks people through 8 steps, and people can get it in their book, Marketing with Webinars. And that'll give you a feel. And also in there, there's a giveaway for one of my PowerPoints that I've used for years in presentations. That'll give people a really good feel for how to do that. But you do need to establish a foundation of the believability. And so first cab off the ranks is the title is critically important. It's more important than anything else, because that's the thing that's going to offer the transparency. It's going to offer the benefit. And so if you screw that up, nothing else matters. So you got to get the title right. But other than the title slide, which is, you know, the title's in the email invitation. Other than that, kick off with who this is for.
Right.
So this is for, you know, professionals, or this is for stay-at-home mums wanting to, you know, have a healthy, happier relationship, whatever it's be. This is for. And in that slide, you can who also want. And that's a chance to repeat the benefit that's in the title. So who this is for, why listen to me? And that's the opportunity to tell your story about your transformation or to show testimonials really, really quickly. They just need a flash. This is the transformation. This is the results. This is the results. And then we go on to what's the promise. So if we were to work together, what does it look like? One, and that's another opportunity to reap the benefit. And so then you go into how does it all work? And then you can go into the call to action, the risk mitigation offer, et cetera. A couple of quick tips. You always want to give people a reason to act now. So if you book a call on the webinar, you will qualify, provided we work together, for this bonus, which is worth, you know, whatever it happens to be. You want to give people and so it's not the world will end by midnight, but I want to give you an opportunity to make a decision. You know, nothing's going to change in your life until you make it. So no, at least you get to move on to something else, but don't, you know, either have a pill or get off the potty, one or the other, you know.
What kind of offer should you give on a webinar? I've heard some people are selling high ticket offers from webinars. Some people say it should only be like a consultation call or like a small low cost offer. Right. Does it matter?
I'll tell you one you definitely shouldn't start with is the first and the last ones. The problem with a low ticket offer is that you really low ticket offer is probably good if you want to try advertising on Facebook, which I do not recommend. But we tested this back in the days. We did a lot of Facebook advertising, and we had, you know, tripwires and segments and quizzes and surveys and everything else. The idea of the low cost offer is that it's what we call the top of the funnel, and the funnel represents wider at the top is more people, and as you go down the funnel, it's less people, but the price of what they're buying is more expensive. The theory is you offer something for someone for $19.95 or $97, whatever, and then you offer them something more expensive, et cetera, et cetera. Doesn't work. We were far more profitable by cutting out that inexpensive offer and going straight to the core product, whether that was $1,000 a month or whatever it happened to be. Hmm. The idea of the top of the funnel is, if you're doing, in the old days, you're doing direct mail, was to get a client, to get them reaching out the checkbook or the credit card, et cetera, and in trust, et cetera. But in the digital world, it's all about skin of the game, that principle of skin of the game. People already put an hour of their time in skin of the game.
Yeah.
So they've already said, I'm serious. Don't give them a $20 or $70 offer. Offer them the consult. When you're first starting out, if you're getting consults regularly and you're converting them into clients regularly, and pretty much every week or every time you're on a webinar, then you can try selling something on the webinar. And we've had good results doing both, but my recommendation for everyone when they're starting out is to offer the consult.
Yeah.
A lot of reasons to do that. One is you will sell more stuff because you're getting people the opportunity to meet with you. And essentially, if you've done a good webinar, all your prospects want to hear when they show up at that meeting is, yes, this is going to work for you. That's pretty much all they want. They will want to tell you about their business, about their life, whatever it is that's relevant to your specialty. But at the end of the day, they just want you to listen, to ask some questions, you go, you know what? I don't think this is going to work for you, or I do think this is going to work for me. So always start with the consult. People can look at my consult offer page, which is bookachatwithtom.com. Not sending you there, folks, so you book consults, but hey, if it looks like a fit, by all means do. So you want to have an easy URL, or it's called a pretty link, book a chat with Lindsay, book a chat with Sam, have a convo with Al or whatever. So that it's easier for people to find, et cetera. So yeah, I'd definitely start with that. Don't offer low dollar products with the hope that people will upsell, because it's those funnels are all contextual, worked well in the old direct marketing days, but if you've got skin in the game coming in, you just don't need that. And all that happens is you attract people with a small budget.
True. Good insight.
Very different if you're offering, say you've got someone in an online course and they're paying $1,000 a month, and you then want to upsell them to a $25,000 mastermind course. That's very different because they already know you and they trust you and they like you and they think you can offer more value. So that would be a context where you could offer something online. But other than that, if it's a new prospect, let's go with the consult.
Perfect. Now, do you believe in having a live webinar, six once a month or every 2 months, or do you on demand webinars, or do you prefer in person?
Well, I think my recommendation is, once you get the live one working, then you can try something on demand. Mm-hmm. There is a thing called eWebinar, which we did a lot of experimentation with last year, and I love it. eWebinar.com. Melissa Quinn and her partner started that. It's a hybrid. So once you're converting your webinar, you've got a great webinar, you know it back to front, upside down, you've ironed out all the wrinkles that I talked about before, so it's really smooth and people are booking consults and so on, then you can look at something like eWebinar. I would do eWebinar over in Evergreen, because with eWebinar, you upload the recording from your most successful webinar. It's very, very easy to do. You put in pop-ups so that polls come up and surveys come up and questions come out at predetermined times.
Oh, cool.
You can set it up so that people can choose from one of four sessions or whatever it happens to be. And you just need to be there, or one of your team needs to be there to answer questions on the way through.
Ah.
So it's the best of both worlds. And it also makes my business Tom-proof. If I'm taken out of the equation for a month because I'm sick or something, one of our team can just hop on the webinar and answer questions, and it's still me presenting on the big screen, and there's no pretense that it's live. People come into it knowing that it's a recording from one of our most successful webinars, but we're here. And so if you want to go, so first of all, do it live, use Zoom or something basic like that. That's all you need. Do it live, get it working well, you're happy, it's converting, generating consults, and then look at eWebinar.
Right. I like that hybrid model. I've never actually heard of that before.
Yeah, it's really, really cool. And Melissa's done an extraordinary job because it's just so easy to use. I mean, it's really, really easy to use. It's
sweet.
And yet she's got, and it's stable. I tested this thing for a year because so many of these, pay $250 and you get your webinar platform for a lifetime. Some of them just have so many glitches.
They do.
So eWebinar is a good one. Definitely get it working live and then switch. My take on the evergreen ones is that you probably need to have, it probably needs to be about 5 to 10 minutes long if people know it's evergreen.
Oh, okay.
Because it's not like watching Netflix. So when people are on their phone, or worse, on a laptop or a big screen computer, they're going to be opening your email while you're talking. You know, they're going to check their Facebook feed. They're going to look at TikTok. I mean, you've got to knock it out of the ballpark in terms of engagement in order to keep their focus and keep their attention. So if you want an evergreen one, you got to shrink it down. I would say 10 minutes the max.
Oh, wow.
And look, you'll hear of people running 3-hour webinars. I know Tom Madsen does some of those. And I don't know how he converts people. But first of all, I don't want to present for 3 hours.
No. My goodness. Yeah. That should be like a paid masterclass or something. That's long. So obviously, as a podcaster, like part of it is networking, right? And like collaborating, referrals, all that good stuff. So can you use the power of that networking to help build that audience to come into your webinar funnel?
What's the power of networking? Just cut out of it in the middle.
So obviously, like, you know, you're podcasting, you're gaining connections and networking and collaborating. How does the kind of like tapping into other people's audiences kind of fit in when it comes to your webinar? I'm just trying to like logically lay it out for those people.
Yeah, great question. Yeah. So a big part of my whole marketing, all my marketing is predicated on one belief, which is that effective marketing is about finding people who want to buy what you've got.
Mm.
It's not about trying to convince people they should buy what you've got. So right. what the hardcore salespeople do is they find a random and throw them and manipulate them. And marketing is manipulation too. I'm not saying it's bad or good. I'm just saying that's what they do. And they try to convince someone who has not got an interest in what they've got to buy it. And the old saying is, you know, a person convinced against their will is a person who remains unconvinced. So even the ones they buy, they have, you know, they cancel quickly and so on and so on. Okay. So that's the sales teams of people with the sales scripts and the, you know, if you don't buy, what's plan B? And if you don't buy now, you're going to lose this bonus. You're going to cost so much more tomorrow. And does it work? Absolutely, it works in the short term. But life's too short, and I believe in karma, and I don't want to, you know, come back perpetually broke the next lifetime because I fleece people in this one. So what? And in terms of podcasting, I want to find guests who have a great email list and a great network and are high influencers in my target market, because the podcast gives me that opportunity to establish those four levels of psychological allure, respect, the rapport, the relatability and reciprocity, not with the end user prospect, but the same principle with an influencer. And it's much easier to get someone on my podcast than it is to get on someone else's podcast. So that's why I have a podcast. And I have someone who uses a checklist and gets the right people on my podcast. So that when I say to them at the end of the interview, when I say to them, hey, Lindsay, I couldn't help but notice we have a same target market. And they go, yeah, it seems we do. I don't want to have a conversation about how we could grow each other's email list. I know they're going to say yes.
Yes.
I know their eyes are going to wide open. I know they're going to lean forward and they go, I know they're going to go, one or two things. Yeah, for sure. Where have you been all my life? Or they're going to go, yeah, what do you got in mind? So the podcast, you know, I salute you, Lindsay, because you worked it out. The podcast is the first date, except instead for end user client, like it might be with a webinar, it's the perfect environment to quickly establish the respect, relatability, rapport, etc. And so the question is, how do you find them, the guests and all the hosts, and what criteria do you apply so that they will eagerly say yes, and so that not only will they say yes, but their email list would be a happy hunting ground for you? And there's a couple of things to unpack on that. The big one is you've got to find people who have an email list if they're running webinars, running podcasts, and they have an email opt-in on the website, tick, right? And not everyone has an email list, particularly some of the influencers just use TikTok, YouTube, et cetera, which is not as effective, LinkedIn and so on. So they do have an email list. And the second thing to ask, and this took me 30 years to work out. So slow learner. What is the reason why people have joined that email list? Underline the word reason. If they've joined the email list for the same reason as to why they might buy from you, then you want the owner of that email list on your podcast. You've got to have an alignment between the reason they're on the list. So, you know, Tony Robbins, amazing personal development guru that he is not a potential OPN partner for us. He's not a potential JV partner because this thing is personal development and our thing is leads and sales. The closer I get to someone who's offering advice on leads, you know, lead marketing and sales, the better that partner is going to be for our list and vice versa. So if we do a cross promotion swap, plan A game, then I know the people that are on the list. Because if you think about it, if you, let's say you sell chainsaws and you set up a booth at a weight loss exhibition, how many chainsaws are you going to sell? Not too many, right? But if you set up a diet supplement pill or something, then you're going to do really well.
Yeah.
And why is because the people are going to that weight loss exhibition for the reason of losing weight. And you're offering something that's going to help them lose weight.
Yeah.
So don't try and work with guests or marketing partners who are not closely aligned to what you're doing. You want to share the same market. Ideally, they'll do something you do in a different way.
Yeah,
my thing is webinars. Someone else's thing might be LinkedIn, but it's still about lead generation in both situations.
True.
So there's a couple of big tips that can save people a lot of time and disappointment and frustration.
Agreed. The audience is so key and to be aligned. And yeah, like you, I've like over the past year, I finally like dialed that in a little bit more and kind of been more strategic in who I'm communicating with, who I'm having on the show and so on.
Right.
Yeah. And if you can tap into someone, just kind of tie the two ideas together, is like being aligned that those other people that you're connecting with and aligned with, they can help you, you know, get more leads to your webinar, you know, those lead swaps or whatever it may be.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
I love it. Yeah. I mean, we could talk all day about, gosh, so many topics, lead gen, webinars. You have such a great way of phrasing things in a way that entrepreneurs can understand, and it can people overcomplicate things. So I love how you keep it simple. So before we go, I just want to make sure that people know how to get your books and how they can get help from you.
Yeah, so get Tom's free book, gettomsfreebook.com.
Yeah.
It'll feature one of my latest books and it's completely free. It's a PDF. You can always get it from Kindle, or if you want the paperback, you go to Amazon, of course. Some of my books are on Audible as well, but kick off with that one. It's free.
Yeah.
And it's quick to download. And once you do that, you will actually go into, you get a 90-day sequence where I unpack the whole marketing webinars and the whole other people's network strategy, unpack it over 90 days, just two short 5-minute videos every week that take one segment, one step and 25 steps over 90 days. So it's, I think we get a lot of feedback from people saying they find it very valuable.
Yeah.
And you probably, after the 9 days, could even get an invitation to a webinar if you're really lucky.
I bet they will.
Yeah.
And I've been in your funnels and gotten your emails, Tom. And I just love how you have a process that's completely dialed in. And that's easy to follow. I appreciate your time and I appreciate
you. Yeah, I appreciate the opportunity to be here. Yeah. Thanks, Lindsay.
Yeah. All right. Thanks, guys. And that is a wrap for this week. And I'll see you next week on the Leverage Your Podcast Show. And that is a wrap for this episode of the Leverage Your Podcast Show. Your next step, head to leverageyourpodcastshow.com to listen to more episodes to get more insider secrets. And if you want to leverage your podcast for higher ROI, then get my free podcast leverage system training at leverageyourpodcast.com/free.